Hello again, everyone. Bernie Miklas back with you. Another Bernie Miklas show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you for your support. Thanks for subscribing or letting people know about us and hit the like button. And of course, I love your comments. We appreciate everything. I'm going to try to do something different today. You know, in these series of videos, I've spent a lot of time talking about managers, talking about, well, Ali Marmol going to keep his job? Who might replace him? Who's on the list? What makes a good manager? I mean, I talk about managers a lot, which I think is fun because, you know, we all talk about managers a lot, especially when a team loses, right? So I was thinking about some historical perspective because, listen, I'm not going to turn this into like I'm Professor Bernie or something. I'm not going to turn it into a lecture. I'm going to actually go through a wonderful time of Cardinals baseball and something I was privileged to cover towards the tail end of the Whitey Herzog era in St. Louis. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to do this video about Whitey Herzog is because, you know, we lost him earlier this year in April. And although I did write about that, I wasn't doing videos at the time. And so this is also my way to talk about someone who I greatly admired. I had incredible fondness for and also learned so much from Whitey Herzog. And as long as I live, there will never be another human being in my life who tells better stories that could just the stuff that he would talk about and the way he would deliver it. I mean, it just was a constantly a good time. And I appreciated so much about him. So I thought it kind of ties in a way to kind of, you know, the fact that, again, I repeat, you know, talking a lot about managers. And Whitey Herzog was so unique. As time goes by, I've come to realize just how incredible it was the way he built the team he did based on the ballpark they played in and the incredible success of what is called Whitey Ball. It's actually, there's more success to what he did. There's more to that record than perhaps at the time I realized. I mean, I knew they obviously had great teams, had some down years, but they win the World Series in 1982. They win the National League pennant in 1985, 1987. Had a couple other good teams, but you know, from 1981 through 89 is basically the Whitey Herzog era in St. Louis. He did manage in 1990, but it was falling apart. Anheuser-Busch was cutting way, way back. They had a bunch of free agents. Whitey got fed up with everything and resigned that season. So 1981 through 89. And I think it's fun to go back and appreciate not only the man, but his style of baseball, the personality that he put into his teams. They had an identity. Too many baseball teams now, including the one in St. Louis, quite frankly, they all look the same. Not literally, but what are some really profound teams that have profound identities, an unmistakable style of play? I'm sure there's some differences. You know, I'm not saying that all 30 teams are the same, the way they go about their business, but it generally speaking, lacks an identity. I mean, you watch one Major League Baseball game, and I watch a lot of them, and after a while, it's just one game looks like the other, right? There's not much to separate it. There are some teams that run more and all that. I'm not saying they're all the same. I'm just saying a lot of the games look the same. And if you want to blame that on analytics, you want to blame it on whatever. I don't really care about that. I'm not trying to diagnose it. I'm just telling you, you know, baseball teams in general lack an identity. It's kind of like, well, I'm going to do what my neighbor's doing. So I wanted to get into that because, again, the Whitey Herzog era in St. Louis was remarkable for having such a unique style of play. It was so successful and so entertaining. Bill James did a long thing one time, you know, the great Bill James, and I think this is funny because he did a guide to baseball managers since 1870. Now, think about that, right? I like to study managers. I've been privileged to, in effect, cover five baseball Hall of Fame managers, some more than others. But in my career, you know, I've learned a lot just by being around these great baseball men who all had their particular strengths, right? So the five are Earl Weaver in Baltimore. Grew up watching him and then got to know him a little bit later. Of course, Whitey Herzog in St. Louis. I put Joe Torre in that category. He wasn't a Hall of Fame manager here, but he's in the Hall of Fame primarily because of his managing work with the New York Yankees. He's a Hall of Fame manager. And then you move it on down the line where, you know, it's Weaver, it's Herzog, it's Torre, it's Tony La Russa. That's four. And I would even put Red Shandings in there because there were a couple times. Well, first of all, when I was covering a team a lot, I was always around Red. And he was a Hall of Fame player, not a Hall of Fame manager, but still had a Hall of Fame intellect for the game. And with Red Shandies, he also, if you remember, was an interim manager a couple times. And so I actually did factually cover him a little bit when he was an interim manager. So it's five Hall of Famers right there, right? And that's why maybe I don't have the knee-jerk type reactions to managers who lose a game maybe they should have won or this or that. I mean, I've studied managers a long, long time, because I'm fascinated by what they do and what their assignments are. So anyway, Bill James, here's his evaluation of Whitey Herzog in this guide to baseball managers since 1870. Again, I love that. Not 1970, 1870. So these are his bullet points on Whitey Herzog. He was fairly intense and established clear expectations for his players. He was more of a decision maker than an emotional leader. He was a problem solver, much like Casey Stengel in this respect. He tried to solve problems with young players as opposed to veterans. Herzog never used a set lineup. That's something y'all should remember. Everybody goes nuts about a certain manager, you know, using a lot of different lineup combinations. Herzog never used a set lineup. He platooned. This is Bill James again. He platooned, but because he had so many switch hitters, his platoon tendency, 85 to 90% of his lineup would have the platoon edge on any given day. That's exactly right. And he wanted switch hitters. Back to Bill James. Quote, did he prefer good offensive players or glove men? His offenses were always based around speed, which is more valuable in defense than offense. So this dilemma never presented itself. His genius was finding offensive potential in players who were generally regarded as defensive players. Isn't that the truth? Those of you who were well-versed in the ways of Whitey Herzog. Let me go back here. The next one. Nine of Herzog's teams led the league in stolen bases, and eight led in triples. None led in home runs or slugging percentage. That makes me smile to hear that, right? More Bill James on Whitey Herzog. He used the entire roster. Everybody on his bench, for the most part, could count on 60 games and at least 125 at-bats a year. Most of his bench players were young guys with two or three vets, clearly defined roles. What Herzog absolutely would not have on his bench was a 28-year-old player who resented not playing every day. Those guys were poison to him. More Bill James on Whitey Herzog. Did he like beginning offenses or one-run strategies? He liked speed, Bill James said, as opposed to one-run strategies. His teams were mostly below average in sacrifices, but his 1986 team finished under 500 and led the league in sacrifices. His teams were enormously aggressive on the base paths. A manager might yell at a player for being thrown out on the base paths. Herzog would get on a player for failing to take an extra base. Absolutely true. Bill James, this is kind of a quip. He said, quote, Herzog's most unusual lineup featured Jack Clark and seven leadoff men. I love that. I mean, it's not literally true, but you get his point, right? I never considered this. Bill James said, quote, he drew his infield in somewhat recklessly, expecting his teams to sometime make almost impossible plays. That's true. I mean, Whitey Herzog had immense confidence in that defense, the speed with that defense. More Bill James. Whitey Herzog often used the old Paul Richards trick of putting a pitcher in the field for one batter and then returning him to the mound. He would use the now banned shifts on defense, especially against Reggie Jackson. That's why I try to tell you all, what, you know, people get all fed up with analytics, right? All this stuff, all this crazy stuff. Big Mouth here has told you during these videos that I grew up watching Earl Weaver and I covered Earl Weaver, but after he retired, I had a chance to get to know Earl Weaver and I covered Whitey Herzog and those two guys in particular. They were into analytics in a major way, except nobody called it analytics. Okay. So I think some people get all hung up on the title, right? It's just smart baseball. Tony La Russa was into what you would call analytical stuff too, but he didn't call it that. So yeah, Herzog was doing stuff that nobody did. Anyway, more Bill James. He liked power pitchers for his aces. The rest were finesse pitchers. He leaned on his bullpen quite a bit, and he pretty much stuck to a four-man rotation for starters and normally got about 900 innings from them. But he would use everyone in the pen. Bill James, final couple observations. His strongest point as a manager was attitude, aggressiveness, and directness. Absolutely. Whitey Herzog and all these manager profiles would end each profile by saying, well, what would this guy have done if he wasn't a baseball manager? Bill James said about Whitey Herzog, quote, if there was no professional baseball, he would have wound up being a county sheriff. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. All right. Now, I'm going to get into some stuff because I'm going to remind you. Yeah, this really does qualify as the good old days because this was so special in terms of the style of play and this man's vision about how you had to win at Busch Stadium and how you had to win by going against the grain. That's why it's so truly unique. His teams had an identity, but I have to share something to sort of give you some context about the way Major League Baseball was played before Herzog took it an entirely new direction by creating something so unique. This Herzog style was not random or whimsical. He saw the Grand Canyon of a ballpark at the previous Busch Stadium, even in Kansas City before that. He saw the AstroTurf. He saw the large outfield gaps. He envisioned a team that was custom made to maximize the home field advantage at Busch Stadium. And this was an extremely intelligent man, and he was unabashedly bold. He had no fear going against the norm. And my experience covering Major League Baseball a long time, decades, there's a lot of copycat stuff in Major League Baseball. Managers are afraid to go against the grain because they see more established managers do it a certain way. And it's like, well, I don't want to be the weirdo here. You know, this is how you get these managers, not so much anymore, but like, oh, you never use your closer in a tie game on the road. Oh, you never. Well, why not? Just because the other 27, 28 managers do that, so you're afraid to be the weirdo? It just makes no sense. Whitey, fearless. He didn't give a damn what anybody thought, especially other managers, because he just wanted to beat them, and he knew how to beat them with the style of play. Whitey definitely went against the norm, but this is how much his style of baseball was different. This is why I'm going back in this and explaining. It isn't just, oh, yeah, his teams were fast, and that's great. But if you put it into a historical context, the way the game was right before he became a prominent manager, it was an entirely different game. And, yeah, I had to write some of this down, so that's why I'm looking down. You know, I can't memorize all this, my friends. Between 1950 and 79, And we're talking 30 years of baseball. 60 teams that competed in the World Series. 41 ranked in the top five major leagues in slugging. 50 of the 60 were among the upper half in slugging. And if you wanted to win a championship in the 50s, 60s, and for at least the first half, a little longer in the 70s, you better bring the big boys. You better have the muscle. That's how offense was. There was only one real way at that time. Now, speedball was a component in baseball in the late 19th century, in the early 20th century, before Babe Ruth's home run prowess changed the game. And that all but made a lot of those rabbits disappear. Between 1921 and 74, no major league team, think about this one, because it's relevant to Whitey Ball. Between 1921 and 74, no major league team stole as many as 200 bases in a season. That accounts for 942 individual team seasons. Not one season out of the 942 did a team steal 200 bags. But by the mid-1970s, a lot of it had to do with Herzog's increasing influence in changing the game and sort of sending a signal in his own way. Hey, it's okay to run. It's okay to run, especially you people in big ballparks. By the mid-70s, more and more major league teams were being played on artificial games were being played on artificial surfaces, and the fast track invited an innovator to come along and adapt based on the playing conditions. AstroTurf, lightning, speed, balls getting through the infield, just skipping right through. You don't have enough fast infielders, quick infielders to get them. You get into the bigger ballparks, you got these huge gaps, right? Or if you even hit a single, you hit it hard enough, that thing would get through the outfield gap and you have yourself a double or even a triple. There was an opportunity to take advantage of literally the playing surface, the playing environment, and to sort of break away from the way it had been done. Herzog brought the rabbits out of hiding, and it started in Kansas City. There's no doubt about it. This is when he created the Whitey Herzog brand. He was about to reinvent, take the lead in a new way of baseball that fit this era, the Whitey Herzog era. Here you go. Between 1975, and I'm throwing numbers at you, but they all have meaning or I wouldn't do it. Between 1975 and 89, major league teams swiped 200 or more bases 21 times. Remember I told you more than a century? Or no, I shouldn't say that. 75 years or whatever I just said a few minutes ago, not one team stole 200 bases. So between 75 and 89, that's 15 seasons, major league teams swiped 200 bags or more 21 times. 10 of the 21 teams that did that, 10 of the 21 that swiped 200, they were managed by Whitey Herzog. No other team reached 200 steals in that time frame, 15 seasons. No other team reached 200 steals more than three times. Herzog's teams did it 10 times. The theory that you had to slug it out to win championships was tabled. It was just put to the side. We'll get back to that maybe when these guys start taking steroids or something like that, right? Just making a joke. In the 10 World Series played during the 1980s, 9 of the 20 teams finished outside of the top 10 in slugging. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. When Herzog's Cardinals won the World Series in 1982, they were 21st in slugging. 1985 and 1987, they were 19th and 23rd in slugging. Sure, slugging was part of the game in the majors in the 80s. The home run didn't disappear, but Herzog just had the genius and the nerve to show there was another way to win. There was another way to manufacture offense, generate offense. You didn't have to have those big lumberjacks up there trying to hit ball far. There were exceptions. I mean, George Hendrick hit home runs. Whitey Herzog specifically traded for Jack Clark to give the Cardinals more power, and Jack Clark was very effective here. But Herzog just, that's why I call him a visionary. He understood there was a way to exploit those vast dimensions and that fast track at the Cardinals' home, the previous Busch Stadium. He had to get some additional personnel to make it work, and he kept adding players that fit that style. but he knew that team was built. It was an ideal fit for that wide, those wide open spaces at Bush. He knew his teams could attack the deep outfield walls. Yeah, he would attack. They would attack the walls, but not by trying to hit the ball over the walls. They'd drive pitches into the gaps and run and run and run like hell for doubles and triples. Most visiting teams didn't have the speed to cover all that space. And Herzog's offense took advantage of that. Most teams didn't have the quickness on the infield, the range. They didn't have Ozzie Smith, right? They didn't have some of the other excellent fielders that Herzog had at the former Busch Stadium. Those teams didn't have those guys. So those when those baseballs were struck and kind of sizzling on that AstroTurf in the summer, getting through there quickly, Herzog's guys had the athletic ability to get to more of those than the other teams. I mean, he just saw every component of this and how it would work to his benefit, his team's benefit. After Major League Baseball had gone through nearly six decades of slow-mo station-to-station offense, Herzog, who was brazen, man, he just said, to heck with that. I'm changing the template. We're going to do it different. And opponents, especially at Busch Stadium, really struggled to handle the ballpark slick surfaces and those immense valleys, and the St. Louis summertime as well. I mean, Whitey Herzog's playing this game where he's got the other team's defense like chasing down balls, you know, trying to run them down in the outfield. You got, you know, infielders who weren't quick enough to get the ball. They're diving on that harsh, awful AstroTurf. He wore those teams down, man. He wore those visiting teams down when Whitey Ball was right. He had a few clunkers in there. But that's the thing that I appreciate about it. Man, he saw the game so much differently than everybody else. And then the copycats came along to steal bases and to play a similar style, but not like Whitey Herzog. And he wasn't alone. I was looking up, you know, in terms of this born-to-run philosophy, you know, teams in Oakland, Pittsburgh, Montreal, Anaheim, they all rolled up impressive stolen base totals. You know, Whitey wasn't the lone guy. It's just he was the one who initiated this and changed the contours of the game and the way it was played. And some of those teams I mentioned, there'd be a team that would bubble up and, you know, have a real big year stolen bases, but they never stuck with the strategy very long. And others never backed up the base running speed with the mandatory pitching and defense the way that Herzog did. In 76, when his Kansas City Royals won the American League West over an Oakland team that swiped an astonishing 314 bases that year. But Herzog's Royals, they stole a lot of bases, but 9314. But what did they do? They had the pitching and the defense to go along with that. The Pretenders weren't as dependent on speed as Herzog's clubs, because his speed played on offense and it played on defense, right? It also played in a way that demoralized opponents. Speed was one of several assets, absolutely, but with Herzog, it was pretty much the entire foundation. He went full gonzo on this stuff. He sort of had not much use for stronger but slower players, wisely concluding that their power wouldn't carry that well in Busch. Jack Clark, as I mentioned, was an exception. If you think about it, it was a radical approach, yeah, but it was also pragmatic. I mean, because if you have a ballpark like this, it isn't a detriment. It isn't something like, well, we can't win here. You know, we're not going to hit enough home runs. That's how people without vision or imagination, that's how they would see it. Whitey Herzog saw it as an opportunity to take advantage of it in a way that would make the Cardinals an extraordinary team and an extraordinarily entertaining team for over an entire decade. Tommy Hurst said something one time that resonated with me. Let me read you this quote. What Whitey Herzog did took a lot of guts. He took on the established way. He turned it upside down. He broke the prototype. He led the way. It didn't always click, but the risk is what made it so gutsy. And that's true. The Cardinals did get bogged down at times, you know, most notably in 1986, 1988, to a lesser extent, 1983 and 84. It didn't always click, but it clicked a lot. And if you want some backing up on that, from 1981 through 89, Herzog's Cardinals had the National League's best winning percentage. They won three pennants. They won a World Series. He put the speed into the heads of his opponents who were rattled and intimidated when they come into Busch Stadium. That athleticism, few teams, if any, could really match. And that created a lot of hits and a lot of extra base advancement for the Cardinals. Plus, they not only did that, but they also took away hits from their opponents. You get the best of both worlds. Stealing can be overrated because of the outs that you lose, the runners get picked off or caught. And I know that, for example, and I'm not trying to pick on Mike Matheny, but every year, you know, at spring training, you know, he'd get these questions. You know, you think there's still a place with Whitey Ball for Whitey Ball in baseball? And Matheny would try to play to the crowd, and he'd say, "Yeah, oh, we're going to be a lot more aggressive this year. We're going to play some Whitey Ball. We're going to try to steal a lot more bases." And I was that guy. This won't surprise any of you. I was that guy, like standing in the back, going like this, because I heard what he was saying, and I'm like, "Oh no." You don't have guys who can run very well. You're going to get thrown out a lot. It ain't going to work. I admire the spirit, and I admire the willingness to pay homage to Whitey Herzog. But you've got slow guys who don't run the bases very well. You're going to be giving up a lot of outs. That's not good. And that's what often happened, especially in some of the latter years. Between 81 and 89, Herzog's teams had a .587 winning percentage when they stole a base in a game. When he stole at least two bases in a game in St. Louis, 81 through 89, two or more bases, the winning percentage was .610. Between 76 and 79, Herzog's Kansas City team was .615 winning percentage when they swiped the base. This was just action adventure baseball. This was a movie. It was so much fun to watch. And that's why the Cardinals drew 23 million to Busch Stadium in the 80s after attracting 15 million in the 70s. Think about that one for a minute, right? Entertainment value and success. Bill James said this about Whitey Herzog, an interview I had with him long, long time ago. It was the early 80s, I believe. Excuse me, maybe the early aughts, I meant to say. I apologize. Bill James said, quote, "Whitey was all about, hey, let's take charge of this game. Let's make the game as hard as possible for the other team. Let's force the action. Let's put pressure on them. Let's break them down." Herzog's best teams not only won, but they won with style and panache. They played an exciting, up-tempo game that was fun for the fans. It turns out that that was part of the plan because Herzog always wanted to play a crowd-pleasing game. Amen. As mentioned, the speed enhanced the defense and the pitching, and with Vince Coleman, Ozzie Smith, Willie McGee, we can name so more. Cardinals hitters patiently took pitches and gave the speed an opportunity to burn opponents. The hitting approach was so sound, it was ridiculous. From 1981 through 89, the Cardinals had the second lowest strikeout total in the National League, and they had the most walks in the National League. They put the ball in play a lot, or they wouldn't get themselves out with awful at-bats. And once they got to first base, either with a hit, infield hit, single, walk, they're going to create havoc. They're going to make you want to just get, especially at Busch Stadium, they want to make you want to get into that shower, get back into the air conditioning. That's what's so incredible about it. And I'm winding down now. So I hope you appreciate this because you can see the smile on my face as I'm talking about it. I'm reliving some wonderful memories, but also the audacity of this man, right? This is kind of like, I don't care what everyone else is doing. This is what I got to do. And we're going to do it. And you watch. You're going to be sorry you walked into Busch Stadium, the old Busch Stadium. All right. Checked out these stats of how successful that Whitey Herzog and the Cardinals, that style was from 1981 through 89. They had the NL's best winning percentage. They were number one in batting average, walks, and on-base percentage. They led the majors in steals. In fact, from 81 through 89, they stole nearly 500 more bases than the next team on the list. Think about that one. According to FanGraphs, The 81-89 Cardinals had the majors best base running metric, and it was 65 points better, which is ridiculous, than the next best team. Like, it just blew everyone away with their base running. No one could even faintly compare. The Cardinals had the best stolen base success rate. See, it was smart base running as well. They led the majors in steals of third base. They led the majors in steals of home. They were number one in the majors in infield hits, number one in triples, number three in bunt singles, and the running Redbirds were second in the National League in doubles. I got more. They made the fewest errors. They had the highest fielding percentage. They turned the most double plays. They handled the most chances, meaning they got to more balls than anybody. And they were Fangraph's highest rated defensive team for those nine seasons. And it was a massive margin. I mean, again, no one's not anywhere near them. So given that rangy defense and how much ground they covered and how many balls they got to, and got their infielders were so good about throwing over to first base, it was no surprise that during those nine seasons, there's only four major league teams that allowed fewer runs than Herzog's teams. Yeah, and he had some good pitching. Don't get me wrong, but there were a lot of other teams that had better pitching. And Whitey always cobbled together a rotation. He did that very well. Remember Kirk Kepshire? Just one of many examples. And he also could create a bullpen out of nothing. But with that defense, the fact that there were some teams that allowed fewer runs over 9 years, but no big deal. That defense made his pitchers better. And if it wasn't for that defense, the Cardinals would have allowed a lot more runs than they did. And they didn't allow many. Like I said, they were like fifth in fewest runs allowed in the majors for those nine seasons. I tell you what they weren't good at over that time. Man, they just weren't very good at it. They proudly were dead last in the majors in home runs and slugging percentage from 1981 through 89. Now, my additional research, the one thing I thought, because when I went through this one other time, I said, you know what? The Cardinals, if I recall properly and everything I read before I got to St. Louis, Cardinals also were really good on the road. This wasn't just a where you're going to run them into the ground at home. Run, boys, run. You know, go at home, especially in that St. Louis sauna-like weather in the summer. And it would be one thing, you know, they were dominant at home, but they were kind of like, on the road, right? Because they didn't have the fast track everywhere. They didn't have the big outfield spaces. Some of the things they could exploit at home were not available to exploit on the road necessarily. But here's the beauty of this. The Herzog system worked everywhere. It worked everywhere in terms of bottom line winning or losing. From 1981 through 89, only the Mets, and you know, you got to give them some credit. They had a hell of a nucleus, hell of a lot of talent. The Mets won a few more home games over that time among National League teams. The Cardinals were second in wins at home from 81 through 89, but it wasn't a big gap. But over those same nine seasons, the Cardinals had the National League's best winning percentage on the road. Now think about that, right? Think about it. So if there were any qualms about, well, this style works great at home, but it ain't gonna play so well on the road. It just isn't. I wonder if people thought that. Over those nine seasons, they had the best road winning percentage, they had the most road steals, and they were third in runs scored. His teams at Busch Stadium averaged 120 steals over those 90 years, 120 steals a year. But they averaged 95 steals on the road over those nine seasons. I don't know. This stuff is just remarkable. And to go back, because I'm going to go back very briefly to something I said at the top, near the top. You watch baseball today, way too many games look the same. Way too many teams look the same. As years go by, as the decades go by, I have even a more intense appreciation for Whitey Herzog. And I appreciated him plenty. And I treasured and savored all the time I got a chance to spend with him, sitting in his office, and some of the stories. And one day I'm sitting in his office, if you don't mind a story. I know I'm going long here, man. This is good stuff. I'm sitting in his office. You know, Tommy Lasorda never got over the fact that he chose to pitch to Jack Clark in 1985. Boom! Cardinals advance, right? That's it. Cardinals take. Well, no, the Cardinals advance. They clinched that the 85 NLCS. And I apologize. I'm just being an airhead. But Lasorda was just unmercifully grilled. And just years and years later, people were still throwing in his face, the media. What was he doing pitching to Jack Clark? You had Andy Van Slyke on deck. And Andy was a young hitter. He was a good hitter. But at that point, you got to keep the ball in the yard. And Jack Clark just went boom. Poor Tom Niedenfuhr. Anyway, that was after, remember, Niedenfuhr gave that home run to Ozzie Smith that won the game at Busch Stadium. It was the only left-handed home run he'd ever hit, or at least that year, or maybe ever, left swinging from the left side. But anyway, like one story, and I'm going to tell you one story. Herzog and Lasorda had a rivalry because Lasorda never got over the fact that Whitey beat him in that 85 NLCS. And part of that was because Lasorda screwed up. So one day, it was a hot sauna day at Busch Stadium, and the Dodgers won. The Cardinals blew a lead. And I'm sitting there with Whitey because I would spend time with him after games, picking his brain about this or that, also watching him put his charts together. Those were his analytics. And the things that were like work of art, the spray charts. I wish I had one. I wish I would have asked him, you have any of those spray charts? I want to frame one and put it on my wall. Anyway, the phone rings. And Whitey picks up, hello, you know. And it was Lasorda calling from the visiting manager's clubhouse. And he said, Lasorda told Whitey, hey, Whitey, I want to thank you. I want to thank you because you really screwed up. He used some stronger language. You really messed up. You fell into the trap. You set your defense all wrong based on what we wanted to do. You fell right into it. You fell right into it. And he's like laughing at Herzog, right? And even I was mad at that, right? I was like, who is this guy, right? So Herzog got up, right? He got up and he had a look, right? He had a look. And I said, Whitey, where are you going? And he said, pardon my language. He said, I'm going to go down the hall and kick Lasorda's ass. And and then he giggled. He wasn't going to do it, but he got me going because I really thought he was going to go do that. And I was getting ready to follow him so I could take notes of the play-by-play. There were a million stories like that with Whitey Herzog, but more than anything, I appreciate how incredibly intelligent this man was. And he was such a visionary and he was such an innovator and he was such a maverick that went against the grain, went against the style, went against the norm. And what a decade that was. What a wonderful, unique, successful style of play that we will never see again. And so when I said it was unique, oh yeah, it was absolutely unique. We ain't going to see it again, even with the rules that make it easier to steal bases. I went long. I hope you didn't mind. Every now and then, I'm going to do one of these historical perspective pieces because I think it also helps us learn more about the present. You all have a wonderful day. I appreciate your support very much here on the Bernie Miklas Show.